ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Adventures in Truth Livecast. My name is Jim Case, and I am your host. And I am excited about this show today. We are going to be talking as sort of a continuation of what we've been talking about over these weeks as we're living through this whole election and transition of power. And I'm loving the opportunity to kind of talk about the inner world and outer world and how this is all coming together. I believe that we are, above all else, in the throes of a huge awakening time. The energies are changing radically, and we have amazing opportunities to transform our experience like never before. So that's why this show is going to be great. I am excited to have Liz Larson with me today with the Cognitive Movement. We're going to have a great conversation about building your transition. So in the past, we've talked about getting your energy right. Which direction are you moving? We're moving into a power shift. So how is that transitioning for you? Are you able to successfully transition from that ego focus to a more soul focus, to a more opportunity-based experience versus a more fear-based experience? But even more important to that in this transition is understanding the tools that you have, the tools that are available, and how to choose those things that are going to serve you in the process of your own evolution. And so, you know, part of that is recognizing that a lot of times we're trying to throw the baby with the bathwater. You know, we want to do the scattershot. And today we're going to talk about how to stop doing that, because it ultimately doesn't serve. And it only serves to create more stress and more anxiety and more frustration. So we're going to talk about how to choose tools for yourself, how to get in touch with that part of you to understand what your need is in the moment, and then taking the time to do that. So we're going to have a really good time with this. If you're out there, and I would appreciate it if you would like us, if you would share us, if you would tell your friends about us. We have a lot of fun here, but largely this is a tool to help as many people as we can reach. So the more we can reach, the better it is. www.adventuresintruth.com. You can learn more about the show, and you can actually listen to shows on the website, but you can go to any of the podcast platforms to hear us, and of course, we're live. So excited again to be here. We're going to take a quick transition here, and we're going to talk about the movement for a minute, so we will be back in just a second. All right. My world is good. Guys, this is the year of conscious creation. And this is something, this is more of an inspiration for me. But this movement, this year of conscious creation, is all about shifting out of that unconscious stuff that we've lived in for a long time, having stuff show up or having to figure out how to deal with what shows up because we haven't been conscious of what we are choosing and creating in our process. But the evolution of this really has been about creating a tipping point on the planet that we have, over the course of many years now, kind of adopted this fear-based experience. And more intently over the last number, you know, 3-4 years, it has gotten even more intense. But the thing that I observed more than anything was that this sort of small group of people could tell a repetitive story that was or was not true, but that became part of the fabric of the culture in our country and in part in the world. And I thought, you know, if that can be done from that perspective, then we can do the same thing from a positive perspective. because what I was experiencing, the feedback I've been getting, the people that I've involved with, feeling frustrated, feeling somewhat disempowered, feeling like they really didn't have, what are they going to do about all the things that they're experiencing, and what impact could they have individually? And that's where this movement becomes so profound, because really feeling it, speaking it, and then feeling it some more, that's how we create, always, anyway. We're just not conscious of it. So if you can jump into this movement, it doesn't require any emails or any money or any, all it requires is your focus and your intention and your desire to create something new and positive and amazing. So what I know about this statement, "My world is good," is that it doesn't have a political affiliation. It doesn't have a sexual affiliation. It doesn't have a color affiliation. It doesn't have a country affiliation. It is a neutral, wonderful statement that just brings that positive energy into your space. And what I can tell you is when you use this and you use it consistently, you will start to see the fruits of it showing up in your world, because you will begin to see the goodness in your experience. So check it out. Here it is. My world is good. My world is good. My world is good. And just for a second here, if together, my world is good. My world is good. My world is good. My world is good. And just in those few statements, I hope you can see the change that took place in my face, where I was focused in talking. And suddenly you could feel in my face, I could feel the energy rising. I could feel my eyes lifting, but I know you could see it. So that's really what I want to happen, because it doesn't matter where you are or who you are. Just let it go. My world is good. Feel it. Say it. Feel it some more. And watch what unfolds for you. And concurrently, as we build that energy, as we build that vibration, watch the tipping point that occurs as we see more goodness in the world, and more goodness has more space in the world to show up for us. So I hope you can jump in with us, and I hope you can participate. It's easy. It's wonderful. I put stuff out about it every day. I'd also love to hear your comments in the comment section as you see these posts. Share your experience, or just share your joy, whatever you do to help keep the movement going. So I'm glad you're here, and we're going to dive in now. We're going to bring Liz out, and we're going to have some great conversation. So bear with me. We'll be back in just a second. Welcome back. Hi, Liz.
Hey, Jim. Nice to see you.
It's so great to see you. I'm so glad you're here, and I'm very excited about our conversation. Liz and I only met very recently, but we have had some time to spend some time together, and she's going to share some more about her work with us in a little bit later in the show. But today, we're talking about building the transition. Today, we're talking about the importance of, when I'm saying building a transition, I'm talking about we are all in process. And to me, in the way the world is evolving and what I've been experiencing, we are in a major process of transition. We're moving, I mean, in astrology, we're moving from Capricorn to Aquarius. The age of Aquarius is upon us. What that means, I don't know. But what the experience is profound to me. Through this whole 2020 has been this amazing unfolding. As you've watched and been with the show, there's been so many amazing opportunities to really change our experience. And I think as we've driven into 2021 now, the sort of the rubber is meeting the road, as it were, in a way that it never has before. And so for me, and this work is all about, how do we help people navigate this transition? Because we're all at different places. And as I've said many times, you know, we're 7.5 to 8 billion unique worlds occupying one planet. So how do we navigate this when our perception is so insular? You know, it's so about what we perceive individually, not necessarily collectively. So as I've talked about the last couple of days in the show, now we're at the point of the transition period. How do we build this transition? And part of that is being able to choose the right tools to help you in that transition. So Liz, welcome to the show. And what do you think about that idea? And how are you experiencing transition at this point?
Well, first of all, thanks so much for having me on. And wow, what a topic. Yeah. I mean, how are we not transitioning? Is there anything that is not transitioning? If you think about just yourself from a year ago, are you not like a completely different person? I know I am. You know, if I talk about my transition personally, I don't even know that I could put it into words. Mm-hmm. It's like I stepped into one timeline and into the next and into the next and into the next. And eventually I ended up here. And I love what you're saying about, you know, 7.5 billion or 8 billion individual worlds, because it couldn't be said better than that. Each of us is a whole world with our own unique perspective mm-hmm. on the planet. We can only see through our own eyes and from our own perspective. And to acknowledge that about every other being on the planet, if we could let every other being on the planet live out their own world, have their own perspective, mm-hmm. and be it neutral about that, this would be a completely different place. It's not the way it works on this planet, unfortunately. But we can't stop trying to get ourselves in that place where we can really acknowledge that. People have their reasons. People are in their own transition, and people are experiencing things that we couldn't even begin to imagine. So I think the first step is that, acknowledging that piece.
Yeah, beautiful. Well said. The transition, transformation, I think it's all relative to how much energy and focus that you're bringing to the game. You know, what I was talking about in the movement, this is to me the year of conscious creation. I say that very seriously and not flippantly at all, because to your point, the things that have occurred in my life over the last year have brought me inexorably to this point of experiencing in real time my thoughts becoming things instantly, or quite pretty instantly, or within a few minutes. And fortunately, most of them have been like really good, but because I've been doing this work for a while and paying attention, I pay attention to what my energy is doing. It's a lot easier to not create negatively when you're being conscious.
Yeah.
So, we're going to get into that. And we're going to get into that. And I don't want to give away too much at the beginning here. But we're going to dive deeply here. I want to take a moment, and we're going to go into a moment of focus, as we do with every show, to really just harness all of our energy into this conversation, so that all of you out there that are listening and watching can contribute your energy to this conversation as well, so that it can be as deep and as satisfying and as rich as we all want it to be. So Liz, I'm going to send you back to the green room for a few. I'll see you in just a second. We will carry on. All right, guys. So let's take a quick moment to focus here. So the first thing I want you to do is just take a couple deep breaths in through the nose and out through the mouth, in through the nose and out through the mouth. And I want you to just be in your body, just get comfortable at this moment and just connect to my voice and just be aware of your breath. It's the best place to start is awareness. So I want you to let your eyes close wherever you are, whether you're sitting or standing or laying down. And of course, if you're driving, please don't close your eyes. But in this circumstance, I want you to just gently close your eyes. Don't try to do anything. Don't force anything. Just be in this moment, hearing my words and being in your experience. And as you're breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth, I want you to become aware of your field of energy. Just feel it. Initially, sometimes you can just, if you've not done it before, you can feel it. It's sort of an ephemeral feeling. As you're more experienced with it, you can literally look around in it, because it is your field and it's filled with your energy. And I want you to become aware of this field. And first, I want you to become aware of the magnitude of your field, that it's not a small thing. It's not a little thing, unless you're constricted. But as a general rule, your field is pretty magnificent. But what I want you to become aware of in your field as we begin this is I want you to become aware of the things that are in your field, meaning I don't want you to get specific and identify them. I just want you to be aware that all the things that we attend to throughout our day, throughout our life, exist in our field. And so all of those things, as you glance around your field, are consuming parts of your energy. And there are a lot of things that consume your energy that you may not be conscious of that are not serving you. So be aware that there's lots going on in your field and that those things are there in your field consuming parts of your energy. And now that you are in that awareness, I want you to bring the focus of your awareness back into the center of your heart, into your body. And I want you to consciously pull your field completely into your body. Disconnect from everything outside of yourself, the dog noise, the car noise, the fight with the partner, the work issue, the food thing, I got to cook, I got to go to the store. Just let it all go. If it's important, it will be there when we're finished. If it's not, it'll go away. That's what energy is supposed to do. But I want you to bring that awareness right into the center of your heart as you continue to breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. And focus all of that consciousness and awareness right into the center of your heart. Feel yourself. You've commanded it. That energy is pulled into the center. I want you to experience the inside of you. I want you to feel what you feel like on the inside. Let that consciousness roam around in your head. You know, you can move your head a little. Feel that inside. See behind your eyes and in your sinuses. Become aware of your brain, feeling in through your brain where the brainstem connects to the spinal cord and moves down your body. Feel all of the nerves coming off the spine. Feel the spine, the bones, the vertebra, the padding in between. Feel all of that. Let that awareness expand into your torso as you become aware of the magnificence of the interior of who you are. Every cell, every blood vessel, every organ, everything is rich with life. Notice it as you travel around in your body, as you go down through your neck and in your shoulders and down your arms. Are you feeling any discomfort? Just focus a little bit of breath into that place. Just breathe into it, in through the nose and out through the mouth, and let it go. Just like that, release. You don't need to know what's there. Just let it go. Surrender it. Let that consciousness flow down your body, down your legs, so that you are now completely embodied. Your consciousness is fully inside of you. And once more, we're going to focus down even tighter now. I want you to bring that awareness right back into the chest, but now we're going to focus into the breath. Breath for me is the foundation of our life experience. It is the thing that animates us. It is what draws the continual life force to us. Breath is an extraordinary, extraordinary tool if you know how to manage it. It will radically change your life if you learn how to manage it. So I like to put my money where my mouth is here, and I like to do a little breathing exercise just to give you a taste, because I want you to take this on your own and build that daily practice so that you are just exploding with possibility and opportunity. So what we're going to do with this powerful breath, this chi, this prana, this life force, is we're going to call it in. We're going to breathe in to a count of four, breathing in fully and completely to a count of four until you're full. And then we're going to rest in the fullness for just a moment, relaxing the entire body into fullness. And then we're purging out of the mouth. All of that air is going to release, and you're going to purge to a count of six, because I want you to get all of that old energy and air down deep in the lungs. I want it purged and out, so you're making room for brand new powerful life force as you pull it in through the breath. But once you reach the bottom at six, I want you to rest in the emptiness as well. I want you to feel relaxed in the void as powerfully as you feel relaxed in the fullness. And then we'll re-engage the lungs and you'll begin again on the count of four. So let's do that now. Focusing into the breath, into the center of the heart as we inhale. Two, three, four, and we're resting at the top. We're resting, and now we're releasing from the mouth. Two, three, four, five, 6, resting in that emptiness, resting in that void, re-engaging the lungs as you inhale. 2, 3, feeling full. 4, resting, relaxing the shoulders and the neck as you feel that amazing fullness. And then you release, surrendering it all, breathing it out. 2, 3, 4, pushing it all out. 5, 6, as again we rest in the emptiness, rest in the void. Re-engaging as we inhale through the nose. 2, 3, 4, resting at the top, and then releasing. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, as we rest into the bottom, into the void, and we engage again. I want you to continue the breath on your own for a few cycles. Feel that fullness. Let that breath expand you 360 degrees. Don't let it breathe light. Don't let it breathe low. Feel your whole body expanding. As you reach that top, feel that joy of that fullness. And then completely surrender it and let all that energy go. Let it purge. Just release. Let it take with it anything that doesn't serve you. And as you get to the bottom, take a moment to just feel into emptiness. It's an extraordinary feeling. And then as you're continuing to breathe, and as you're focused in that breath, I just want you to hear my words. My world is good. My world is good. Feel that through your entire body. My world is good. 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 Feel all of that. Notice what happens in the breath. Notice what happens in your body as you feel that. And let yourself continue the breath cycle that you're on. And as you are continuing and finishing that last breath cycle, consciously allow your field to begin to move out once more. It's just a decision. Let it flow from you easily. Just let it move. And as the energy expands, you become present in this moment, right here, right now, with us in this show, because that's what we're doing. We're going to bring Liz back. We're going to carry on our conversation. Welcome back, everybody. That felt great. Thank you all for participating.
Beautiful.
Good stuff. All right. Beautiful. So you were getting ready to say, I hope you're remembering where you were, because I know I cut you off to go to break there. But
no, I was actually just going to piggyback on what you're saying about manifesting instantly. And I think that's a little secret that people don't imagine will happen to them. You know, they think about manifesting and it's always something good. But when you get that energy level up over the 500s, you know, on the Hawkins scale, love or above, you manifest instantly. Manifestation does not discriminate. No. We have a funny story. One of my clients was saying that she has to watch what she does, because if she's tired in the morning, she thinks, man, it'd be nice to have a day off. All of her clients will cancel. So you really have to, know that when that energy is up there and clear, you're creating whatever you're thinking.
Absolutely that. And I have been wanting to emphasize, because I know there's a lot of resistance to you create your own reality. There's a lot of resistance to thoughts become things. And part of that resistance, as I've seen over time, is sort of that lack and victim mentality, that says, but I wouldn't have done this to myself, or victim blaming kind of idea, like, oh, so now I get to blame myself. And see, the thing is, none of this is about blame. It never has been, and it never will be. It's always about accountability. It's about responsibility, but mostly it's about being conscious. It's about choosing consciousness over unconsciousness. And that when you recognize the difference, when you understand the difference, your life changes so unbelievably, and it changes that fast. It's not like, you know, you got to slug through it. I mean, let's be real. I spent two decades going through the hard part, what I thought was the hard part. That was the breaking down of all of the ego structures that I had built in order to survive to that point in my life. And as a result, I created lots of crazy stuff in my life, everything from cancer to, you know, crazy parasites to, you know, there's been some major stuff that's happened, but not because I'm the victim of it, because I'm aware that I created that reality based on what I was doing, how I was being in the world. You know, when I was diagnosed, I remember sitting in the car after I went to the doctor's office when I was diagnosed. This was back in 2009. And I remember so vividly sitting in the car. I remember the day. I remember what the world looked like outside of my car. But the thing that was striking was the first thought I had after I want to call my mom was, I know exactly how I ended up here. I literally was sitting there going, I know exactly how I ended up here. I was in a marriage. I had been married for 24 years. The last 4 years of that marriage were awful. We went from a couple who created tons of amazing things to a couple who couldn't walk out the door of the house without fighting about who stepped on the curb wrong. You know, I mean, it was that kind of ugly. And I got to see in real time, like, dude, this is what you've done with your energy for the past 5 years. What other result could you expect? you know what I mean? Go ahead. Yeah, please.
It's so, so true. So while you were doing your meditation work there, I noticed that the sign in the background said transformation. Mm. And it made me think the word transformation really is trans matter. Yes. You're changing form. And this is the thing I think that is missing from the conversation about manifestation. And you're 100% right. People think, well, that's victim shaming. I wouldn't have done this to myself. And they're right. Mm-hmm. The truth is, and this is the piece that's missing, we don't realize that this is a form issue. These things actually become patterns in our physical body first, because the body wants to protect us. Mm-hmm. So take this, for example, you're a little kid, tiny, and you learn the lesson that the stove is hot. Good lesson, right? Hand learns that's hot. It hurts. Body stores that away. And then brain makes up an idea about it. We don't touch the stove. It's hot. Now, the next time we encounter stove, we don't have to learn that again. Really good system, right? So that system works for everything. So when somebody hurts our feelings for the first time, body says, that hurt, let's store that away. And mind says, well, that was about my mom doesn't like me. Yeah. Or that was about people don't like me. Now you've got this pattern that starts to run between brain and body. And it's electromagnetic, it's chemical, hormonal. And that whole pattern is also putting that out into our field of potential. It's right here. It's generating people don't like me. So guess what? That person encounters people who don't like them, mm-hmm. or a bad situation with mom. So it becomes a thing that we think and a belief in our body. But the thing we don't realize is if we can get that pattern to stop in the mind body, we can get that manifestation to stop. So like you're saying, pretty soon you've had a great relationship. You can create everything. And then it starts to get bad. Well, that creates a pattern. And the mind has an idea and the body has a feeling. And then the next one and the next one, the next one. Pretty soon it's so big, you can't get away from it. You can't unwind it. And now you got cancer.
Yep.
Yeah. So if people can understand that one piece, if you can get rid of that body feeling about these problems, you can actually stop that manifestation. And it's not really your fault, but it is a pattern generated by, guess who? Yep. This physical form right here.
Such a, and what a brilliant explanation, because it really speaks to understanding we are really in our own unique world. And yes, there is world, all is out here. While they say it is considered an illusion, in the construct of time and space, thoughts become things which become the physical realities. We are all engaging in those realities, but we're engaging them from our unique perspective, which is fraught or filled with all of the ideas and beliefs and experiences that we've had. And so that body-mind connection thing is extraordinary, because you literally can impact it simply by feeling and saying something like my world is good.
Yes.
That's why I say feel it, speak it, feel it again, because that is creating the reality, because it is an intention. You understand, we create through intention. You set an intention and say, this is where I want to go or what I want to do or who I want to be. And then wherever you are vibrationally to that thing, everything between you and there has to change in order for that vibration to come to fruition. Now, Sometimes that's fast. Sometimes you don't have attachment to the things along the way. So you can be in a circumstance. I've shared this story so many times, but so many circumstances where I was getting ready to confront. I got a letter. I was receiving unemployment for a while during the pandemic, the heaviest part of the pandemic. And I received a letter from the state of Colorado that said, this was after I'd been paid for 6 months. Sorry, we made an error in your payment amount. You owe us $9,000.
Oh my gosh.
And I went, excuse me, you know, made me blink like 10 or 20 times. But what I chose to do in that moment, because it made no sense to me whatsoever. Like, the whole point of this program was because we were all going through this challenging time. And now you're telling me, well, that was nice, but give us back our money.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. What I did that night in meditation, I literally removed it from my consciousness. I literally said, I will not attend 1 second to this thing because all it stimulates in me is negative energy. And I completely goodbye. 3 days later, I got a letter that said, hey, we're really sorry about that. We've decided we're not going to pursue this. So please disregard previous.
Wow. Yeah.
But I literally did not even think about it. It never even crossed my mind for those 3 days. And that was a powerful, powerful lesson in really understanding I contribute to the end result. I contribute to what shows up in my world.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And people don't have any idea that they can change things instantly like that because they don't know they have the choice of changing. I love the name of your book. It's actually similar to Bill's and my book, Suffering is Optional,
Yeah. Right?
Fear is a choice. These things are a choice, but it doesn't feel like that in the moment for sure. I'll share one of those. I was on the yoga mat. It's plague. So we can't go to yoga. It's via the internet, right? So that day, nobody else showed up. So I'm there with my teacher and I had had a back injury from yoga a few years ago and I was healed and I could do my yoga again. And I was so happy, but I got on the yoga mat with my mind going like this, it was a business situation thing and it just wasn't right. And it wasn't going to be right. And it was the other person's fault. And right? Of course it was their fault, right?
Of course.
So the last time I had a back injury, the same thing was happening. My mind was going like this, couldn't settle my mind, feeling in the body. And I did one too many upward dogs and really hurt myself. Jeez. So here I am, I'm on camera. I can't leave because I'm the only person in class. And my mind's going and it's their fault. And all of a sudden it occurred to me, oh, guess what? This is my pattern. This is me. So I quickly did what we call a remap in my mind, with my body. Our work is very physical. And I quickly did a remap. And in about, I don't know, it might have been 30 seconds. It might have been 5 years. I'm not sure. But and I'm feeling calm and I'm enjoying it, just loving this yoga practice, right?
Yeah.
So I get off the mat, I pick up my phone to walk down and we use the Cogno ball. So I was going to seal it in and make sure it was for real. But as I'm walking down the hall, I get a text and it's from the person that's driving me nuts telling me, exactly what I wanted to hear and that everything was wonderful and beautiful and great. And from that moment on, it continued to be like that. So did I have an influence? Did I change that person? Or did I change my experience that then from my perspective, it looked like they changed?
Right.
Maybe I was holding them in that pattern all the time, and I'm pretty sure I was. Yeah. So this is the thing. We can change instantly. We can choose and we can transform or change physical.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
Good place to take a break. We are going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about transition, but more importantly, we're going to dive into the tools that we can use. And so we're talking about this creation process, and we're talking about how quickly and easily you can do this. But it's also important that you're picking, and especially if you're in a place of crisis or in a place of in the transition where you may be on the side of transition that you're still in uncomfortableness or still struggling with aspects of yourself, how to choose tools to help with that process. So we're going to do that on the other side of the break. So bear with us, and we'll be back in just a few. If I can find my right button, let's try this button. All right, guys, bear with me here. Sorry, my buttons are all over the place. All right. So I want to talk to you a little bit real quickly here. Tomorrow I'm going to be part of this wonderful event, the Courage to Change Everything Summit. And you can still register for that today. It is tomorrow. It'll be from 9 to 4 or 9 to 5 tomorrow. I think they're expecting over 1,000 people. There's all kinds of amazing speakers, national bestsellers and people who have been out in the world doing this work. But the whole idea of the summit is creating a courageous and successful year. And it's the promotion of Ken's new book. And it's going to be an extraordinary event. I hope you can join us and participate in that. We'd love to see you there. So when we come right back, we're going to go to Liz, and Liz is going to share about a little bit more in depth about the Cogno movement and what that's all about. So we'll be right back. It is. And Lauren Michaels Harris did that for me, and it's extraordinary. He does amazing work. I'm actually getting a new book commercial done that's updated, so I'm excited to roll that out and stuff as well. But I'm turning the floor over to Liz. Liz is going to tell us all about Cogno Movement. Here we go.
All right. So I am Liz Larson with CognoMovement.com, as you can see there. Cogno Movement was invented by my business partner, Bill McKenna, and he invented it in the beginning out of the desire to help people be able to relieve some pain out of their bodies. And it's based in neuroplasticity, the idea that the brain can change. And if you're watching earlier in the show, you heard me talk about how this is in the body. The body creates these protective patterns and creates the thoughts in the brain. So it's based in neuroplasticity, the idea that the brain can change, neurolinguistics, the idea that the neurology is influenced by language through the auditory. And through brain harmonization, we immediately, the first thing we do is activate the left and the right side of the brain and get it in harmony. So what does that have to do with anything? It has to do with the way that we can actually get in and change the brain through the feeling in the body. And that's what Cogno Movement does. It's called a cognitive movement therapy because we're using movement. We're using left and right. We use this funny little ball, and the color and symbol activate the left side of the brain, the shape and the size and the feeling activate the right. And we use that to immediately, before we do anything else, get the body ready to learn. We use auditory cues, visual cues, and touch, kinesthetic cues. And we think about changing problems in a completely different way through the physical body. So here's something most people don't know, that the brain actually just doesn't give a crap about anything that the body doesn't have a corresponding feeling for. So we can change our thoughts very easily if we can get the feeling in the body to change. So in that story I told earlier about myself on the yoga mat, that had everything to do with changing the feeling I had in my body about that situation. And immediately when I did that, my mind changed. It is so hard to get beliefs to change. It's so hard to wrangle the mind to the ground, but it's so easy to get the body to change its opinion. When we do that, we get the pattern in the body that we call a problem to stop. And then, like Jim and I were saying, it gets that pattern, that electromagnetic, hormonal, chemical signal to stop filling our field of potential, and things around us change instantly. So we're coming at changing a problem from that perspective, that we can change the way the body feels, and then we can change the way the body interacts with the mind, and then we can change the overall pattern, which instantly changes the belief and changes problems in life. It makes life act differently. So that's basically what CognoMovement does. It's available on CognoMovement.com, and we have a whole course that lets you do this for yourself at home in your own living room. You get Bill and I there, and it takes you step by step through these really easy movements that you can change any problem, cravings, things about the body, emotions, gone as fast as my story was that I shared with Jim. So that's basically it. If you're interested in CognoMovement, if changing your problems through your body is something you'd be interested in, please visit us at CognoMovement.com. There's a free ebook called Suffering is Optional that walks you through the steps and shares some really cool stories about how this happens. In fact, one of our favorite things to say is, where's my miracle today? Because we literally can create miracles in our lives by just plucking out, deleting is what we call it, those feelings from the body. So that's CognoMovement.com.
That's fantastic. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
So well done. You've done that once or twice, haven't you?
A little. Maybe a few times.
That was really, really good. But you can check it out. Definitely check it out. Bill and Liz are both amazing. I've known Bill for quite a few years and extraordinary gentleman.
Yeah, he is. He's great.
All right. So back to that. I put up your website while you were talking so
awesome.
People can see
Thank
where
you.
To go and all that good stuff. So now we're into the part. So we've talked about the creative part. We're talking about the transitions, and we're all in some form of transition, depending on where we are, but we're all going through it. That's what we're here for. We came here to do these transitions and to continue to, I think, seek ways to expand vibration, seek ways to elevate our experience and to find that source. I mean, we are that source, living and breathing in this time and space reality. But it's so cool now to be able to, as we talked about, or as for me anyway, this idea of this process, this experiment, whatever it is, this thing of human beings and being each of us being these unique aspects of the divine, getting the divine, the creative process, the origin of the universe, getting to witness its own evolution through this human experience. Because it is, for the first time, as I understand it, cognitively for us, it's the first time that we've been able to look back to the very beginning, what we perceive to be the beginning, and see our evolution happen and begin to connect the dots of how interrelated it all is. So that could be a whole other show. We can, what we want to talk about now is how do we take all that information and how do we're in the moment of crisis. We're in the moment of change. We're in the moment of an old way of being that doesn't serve, something that we're doing that isn't helping us anymore. I need tools. I need tools to help me. I'm in a place I've never been before, so I don't know what to do to get to where I want to go to. So we wanted to spend a little bit of time with that, talking about things like CognoMovement, where you have the ability once you understand the process to radically shift your own experience. The science of transformation is the same. The ability to shift through altering the energetic signature in your body, changing the pathways in your brain, it's all toward the same thing. But I think to the thing that we want to talk about here with regard to tools is, first, we're going to talk about the negative side of tools, because I think it's important to lay the foundation of what my perception is anyway, which is I think we do too much scattershot approach. I think we do too much pack the system with everything we can and hope it works, and then having no idea what worked, if anything worked, but actually nothing worked, because we actually feel worse because we've now proven to ourselves how unworthy and stupid we are because we can't make anything function, right? Which was the source of why we were doing all the work to begin with. So it's sort of a double-edged sword. What are your thoughts about that?
Oh man, that's so true. And I have been so guilty of that in my past because I'm a highly options-oriented person. I mean, that means I want all the choices. You know, if I get French fries to, and they ask me, what sauces do you want? I say, yes, I want them all. So I've been so guilty of that, of in the past trying, having a problem and trying everything at once. And there's this very sense of frenetic energy. If you think about it, think, you know, if you're watching in the audience and you've had a problem and you did that, you can almost feel it in your gut, that unsettled, busy feeling in the belly of, I don't know which way to go and I'm going to try it all at once. So it's not a good thing. It doesn't work out and it's not concentrated enough. And a lot of times many modalities are in conflict with each other and have, you know, they all end up in the same place sometimes, but they often have very conflicting ways to get there, which is not good energetically. It doesn't help you be calm and actually move forward step by step and get where you want to go.
Yeah. I tend to like, so I use this, and I'm sure you have a foundational tool that's very similar. I do an experience called energy up and energy down. And I call it that simply because that's kind of how I approach life. I feel my way into things. So what does that mean? Well, in choosing tools, what that means is you have to understand, and Liz made an extraordinary point at the end of what she just said, which is all the tools have specific purposes, but also remember that the person who is facilitating that is carrying energy. So it's important to feel your way into who you're working with, what you're working with. And when I say feel your way, it's simply a question of lean into energetically in your emotional body. Lean into this. When I say I'm going to do X, what happens in my body? Does it go like this? Does it spin up as I think about it because I'm excited and anticipating? Or does it go or somewhere in between? And that it's a subtle thing, but it's subtle, but it's not hidden, I guess is what I want to say. It's not hard to find. You just have to get quiet and sit into it and feel into it. And you may have different words for that. Might help some of the audience as well, which I'd love to hear.
So I actually can offer just a little bit of a shift, and maybe it'll make it clear for people. I think what Jim's talking about is whether or not this lights you up, mm-hmm. or whether it dims you down. And that's that feeling of, do I feel like, yeah, that feels like the next best thing? Or does it feel like, ooh, that's prettier? Or does it feel like, oh my God, I want to do this, but I'm probably not good enough and maybe I can't afford it? And I mean, what lights you up is I think the way to look at what Jim's saying. But there's another piece to it that's a little more physical. So I'm really about this transform, this changing physical today. I just love that word. Yeah. All of a sudden is this, we're physical beings, right? We have three main ways we learn: auditory, visual, or kinesthetic. So auditory with the ears, eyes with the eyes, or kinesthetic. If a person chooses a tool that matches their learning style, they're way more likely, one, to do it, two, to get something out of it, and three, to continue doing it because it matches. When we're asking ourselves to change our mind or our body or even our spirit, we have to relearn. or learning something new. Mm-hmm. So if you can set yourself up to start with something that fits your learning style, you're going to get that, what you're talking about, Jim. You're going to get that uptick in energy. You're going to get that, ooh, yeah, that feels good. Mm-hmm. So what I mean by that is if you, you know, go into a big meditation a modality and you are not auditory, that is not going to work for you. You're going to make yourself nuts. You're going to fall asleep, right? If you go into something that's asking you to do these big visual things, I mean, that would work for me. That is not going to work for you if you're not visual. If you're a kinesthetic person who needs to move or needs to put your hands on, you're also not going to do great with sitting still, you know, in the lotus position in meditation. So if you kind of get an idea of like, how do you like to learn? I mean, if you do audiobooks or do you read, you know, do you like to jog or do you love to sit in lotus position, right? So that's one way that I would say people could choose mm-hmm. in a way that's really smart.
Love that. And it adds a lot. It adds a really good foundational aspect. When I talk about feeling into this is a conversation you and I had before we went on the air. I recognize, and especially in this wonderful way that you've laid this foundation in, that when you're in your experience, you talk from your experience, but my experience may not be relatable to someone who hasn't been there. So yeah. Feeling their way into it is like, what do you mean? Well, I still think it's valid in that it's all about energy ultimately.
Yeah.
What Liz has given us is one more layer of the rational part of it that says, hey, we learn in specific ways. So understanding, it's another way that you understand yourself even more completely and more deeply, because then you start to choose the things that satisfy that way that you learn. And so again, as you're choosing these tools, these are ways, it isn't so much about what tool, it's about how you approach what tool, how you enter into relationship with what tool, with that tool.
Yeah.
Because there are things that, you know, the other thing, and I'm curious about this just as a completely secondary point. I have found for myself personally over time that as I have done the work consistently, as I have experienced my own growth and evolution, that the ways that I learn have actually changed over time, mm-hmm. meaning I learn different things, different ways. So if I'm trying to approach one particular thing, I may want to be touching it and feeling it and doing all that. But I think that comes with understanding over time that we're so multifaceted that you can evolve to a greater understanding or a greater way of incorporating what you learn. But it still sources from that original place, you know. What are your thoughts about that?
I think you're right about that. Well, one thing I know is it's kind of, we kind of come on the planet pre-programmed with the way that we learn initially. And I think as we grow and as our energy shifts and changes, that we can expand, you know, our ability to visualize or what comes in through our eyes. We can see a lot more. We can hear a lot more. So I think, you know, you definitely can develop and learn and grow. I think also what we're talking about too is when a person's in crisis and they're in the now and they haven't had that opportunity to expand and grow, to find what is going to give them that light up, like you said, that uptick of energy, which is usually their main way that they learn. But also, what can you actually stick with and do? Because I will tell you right now, I have exercise programs on that shelf right over there that have never seen the light of day. I mean, it's a great idea. And when I saw it, I'm like, yeah. I mean, they did a great job selling it, right? But it is way more kinesthetic than I am, right? And it doesn't serve my mind. It doesn't make me wonder. And, you know, with our work as well, it's funny because I have one practitioner I'm thinking about in particular who absolutely hates our modality. She hates it because there is a lot of movement. But when she needs it, she uses it and it really works. But she defaults to other things that really serve her soul And she knows that. So on her everyday practice, she's doing breath work and yoga and Qigong that she just deeply loves. But when she needs to change something right now, she gets in and does her Kok No movement. And she admits she hates it.
Yep, that is fantastic. Well, I think one of the other things that's important, and I touched on this a little bit, is this idea of less is better. And why I say that is that I have observed over my lifetime, and particularly in this work, as I had a center in San Diego, and people would come in for their sessions, and I would get to listen to the 27 things they did before they came into session, and I'm going, "Oh, seriously? how do you know? How do you have a clue of what's going on? You know, how do you have a clue of what you're experiencing? Because you have no idea how this is all impacting you, and now you've created an outdoor event because you've stimulated energies that you weren't even being conscious of. And now that's layering into this thing that you're hyper-focused in. And you think it has to do with the problem that you think you have when it has nothing to do with the problem that you think you had. And it's as confusing and frustrating as I'm making it in the conversation about it, because that's what happens in here. It's what happens in your inner, that level of crazy then takes over your field.
Because
you've got your energy going in 27 directions. No wonder you don't feel good.
That's a really, really, really good point. And in session, it is, I'm a real stickler about this. What do you want? Because people will come in with 9,000 things they do not want. And then they can't figure out why they can't get what they do want. Well, they don't even know. So what you just said is a really, really good point. In choosing a tool, in choosing anything, before you do any of that, choosing and knowing, when I get what I want, what does it look like? What does it feel like? Who's there? Where am I on the planet? What's the time frame? The question is, what specifically? I worked with someone today who, that was just it. She had this big life problem, but she had no idea what she wanted in its place because she felt there was nothing possible. So when you're choosing a tool, if you don't know what it is specifically that you want, how do you find the tool to fix it? Right? You know, if you're going to go out there and work on your car and you take a chainsaw, that's not going to work. It's a tool, all right.
Yes.
And it'll do something, but it is not going to do what you want. So, right? What do you want to do? What is it specifically? I think that maybe might be the most important thing if we shared anything with anybody today,
yes,
is that. And then choose very specifically, what do you want? What does it feel like in the body? How good would that feel? And then choose the tool. Find a tool that's appropriate.
And that's actually specifically how you will feel into it. That is a perfect example, because you've gone to it from the way that you learn. You've begun to juice it, and now the energy is flowing to you and through you, and you can then in the moment go, "Oh, something's not quite," or yes. And we are at the end of our hour, but that was a beautiful place to end us for us, because again, the tools are meant to help you through the transition, whatever transition you're moving through. And we're all going to have them. And there are a gazillion tools out there. That's the great news. The even better news is you get a chance to choose. And the process of choice is another way that you get to learn about yourself. Another way that you become conscious of who you are and what you bring to the planet. Because you have to understand that to be able to pick the tools that serve you in any given situation. Right? So, Liz, I can't even begin to thank you, and we could have gone on for 3 hours today, no doubt. And I'm excited and hopeful that you will come back and we get to do this again, because I'm just thrilled to death with this, with where we've got to go today. So,
yeah, absolutely. This was really fun. Thanks so much for the great conversation.
Yes, it was wonderful. To all of you out there, head over to www.cognomovement.com to learn about what Liz and Bill are doing there. It's extraordinary and very powerful. Actually, in our meeting together for the first time, it happened that something came up and Liz took me through a quick session of it, and it was breathtaking, powerful, impactful. We were sharing about it before the show, that weeks later, I can still recite what's changed and what's different in my world as a result of it. So, avail yourself to that if you can. www.adventuresintruth.com. www.fearisabook.com. You can go to either of those places if you want to learn about my book or about more about the show. So have an amazing rest of your day and rest of the weekend, everybody out there. Make sure you like us. Make sure you share. Make sure you tell your friends. And thank you all for being here. And we appreciate you very much. Have a great, great day. Bye, guys.
Thanks so much. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth Podcast. Thank you for joining us. We'd love to connect with you. Please like us on Facebook and subscribe on YouTube. To learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, or to book a session with Jim, you can email us at adventuresintruth@gmail.com, or you can join us on the web at www.adventuresintruth.com. Tune in next time for another great Adventures in Truth podcast.